Hello everyone, I'm Gabby Kusters, Head of Global Marketing for Esselon, and today I'm here again in Mexico City for our 25th anniversary of our LATAM events. And it's been 4 years since we've actually been here, so it's very exciting. I'm here with two very special guests, who I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves.
Okay, really nice to be here. Thank you, Lloyd. I'm Ben Bosch. I'm the Manager Director for NetQuest in the US and Canada. And I'm originally from Barcelona, but I'm living in New York for almost 7 years now.
And I'm Daniela Martinez. I'm the SVP for Advertising Sales and Corporate Strategy for A&E Networks Latin America. So I'm based in Miami, but obviously oversee the region from there.
Great, great. So how many SMR events have people been to?
And to me, probably like, if I had to count it, probably 6, 7, a lot. I've been in the industry for almost 7 years and a half. And probably every year I've been like a one or two SMRs event.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't even remember, but there's been many, many. So, because you also have the global and then Latin America, so, and most of the times there's different speakers, so it's not like you can do one without the other or, you know, so.
Well, since you both have experiences with SMR events, how are you finding this one so far?
I like it. I mean, this kind of event, I like it here in LATAM because if you compare to the global one, you know, the global is like a lot of expositors, there's a lot of people. Here is more intimate. It's more like the people that you already know, people that are your clients or your colleagues on the market research. And I just really like it. And this year for NetQuest, we had the opportunity to be a gold sponsor. For us, it's like, yeah, which event?
Good. No, and I think that is great also to see the local relevance of the topics that are discussed. So, you know, to listen to other companies that are also in the region facing the same challenges or similar challenges, I think that is, it's very, I guess, fulfilling for the audience, you know, to be able to have those takeaways.
Definitely. And that's very much what I've been hearing so far during these interviews, how everyone can really relate to each other because it's such a close-knit industry and region as well. Although I did speak to a few speakers earlier on and they really told me off. They said, it's not one region. It's a very close-knit region, but every country is very different.
You were talking to Brazilians too.
I know. I did. How did you know? I did. It was one of my last interviews. Exactly. No, it's very different. Very different. Brazil's different than Chile. Chile is different than Peru. It's very, very different. And at the same time, very connected.
Yes.
So, I mean, we are from the U.S., then this is a huge difference as well.
Different. Exactly. Of course. Well, you guys spoke yesterday. And I think it's very much worth it to discuss your topic and talk about what you, the key takeaways from your session. Also because the public was very involved. They were very engaged. They asked questions. And let's discuss this. Talk to me about what you went over yesterday.
Okay. What we did is something new in terms of the attribution of the advertising space. What we're trying to do is we have a panel that we put some technology in this panel in order to get the passive information from clicking data, from audio matching, and then matching all this information with A&E channels in order to get the final attribution that you know that is very difficult to find it with another way, right? Or probably you need to have like a different kind of companies that one part of this solution we're trying to do it with just one single source of information.
Yeah, all the financial pressures that all the companies are going through, this was a need, you know, and it's still a need from the industry of having just one consolidated view of the user and what's happening. And actually, did that person reacted and went through the funnel, let's say, you know, and did we convert? Because many times you talk about audience and you talk about impressions or reach, but the reality is that if you stay there only, then anybody can come with a bigger number, right? So the question is the bigger number actually converting? Am I actually getting more sales? Which it's what every CFO wants to know. And that's, you know, that's where working together with all the tools that they had, we were able to do it and in a way that it wasn't intrusive, in a way that it was completely passive. So there wasn't a, let's say, do you remember, did you purchase that? No, it was actual behavior that we were capturing.
Was it really?
So that made the whole study, I guess, or the whole project very different, just because we're not creating models or it has assumptions, but it's hard data, behavioral data.
How did you get that done without being so intrusive and having actual natural collected data that you could use later on?
I mean, it's not an easy path to that. We do have at first a panel with a really engaged panel. And then what we're trying to do is this panel we have engaged that we asked our clients to do a little bit more.
Okay.
And then we install a meter in order to get on the PCs or desktop or phones. And then he, by consent for sure, that the client say yes, they install the meter, and then we start gathering all this information. That's for the behavioral data. For the audio matching data, what we do is we open the mic of your phone, and then we capture what you are listening to. And then with all this information is the one that we are matching with all the information that we have from the channels, from the AME, and then able to get this exposure and at the end, the attribution.
Well, while you're talking about this, I have one question in mind: data protection.
Oh, yeah, that's a big question, sure.
Yes. How do we make sure that we're doing everything in an ethical way without crossing that line?
That's a really good question. And the first thing is that we always ask for consents. I mean, you have, do you want to start your meter and explain everything? And then the device has to say yes or not. If it's no, it's no. If it's yes, they install the meter and they have the possibility to or remove it, or either remove it or just shut it off for a period of time. That's on one side. On the other side, in terms of our company, NetQuest, we are from Europe, and then our regulation is GDPR. And then you know that it's super strict. And then, of course, we follow all these regulations. Yeah.
Extremely, extremely. It's very interesting to hear from a marketing perspective, because one of the main issues that I face is to understand whether my spend was actually, if that revenue was actually generated from that click, or is it from the banner that I have in someone else's website based on a partnership agreement that we have? And to also understand whether it's one single person doing the clicks or several different people. Attribution is a huge problem for me.
For everybody.
Yeah,
for everybody. And that's exactly what we're trying to, or what we answered. I think that because it was that, and it was the whole funnel. Because I think that part of the issue that you bring, which is completely valid, and I was talking about it, is that you have all these attribution models, and many of them are based on, let's say, last click. So like many, you know, many on the digital side, they'll tell you, oh no, but look, they went from my side to your side, so therefore it's me. However, we don't live in a bubble, or, you know, we have so many stimulus that just get to us that how is that you know which one it is? And that's why having a single source was so key, because then there's no assumptions. We know exactly everything that was received by that person because we're capturing everything, you know? Idea of the part that where we invite everybody to join and to it with us is that there are other things that we can be adding. So geolog, for example, or that we can be looking at the purchase, actual purchase that they made. Because then we're in having for a longer period of time. This is something that we did for about a month. So if we would have it for a longer period of time, we're going to be able to see actually the impact throughout the funnel and not just in the last part of the conversion, because maybe the things that, I don't know, a communication that you put, maybe it is contributing, let's say, on a certain level on the interest, or it answers something, but it didn't get to the site, let's say, the SMR site, right? So the question is, okay, so is this not valid? Or will the person would have gone and clicked without actually seeing this stimulus? So that I think that is something that it's wonderful about the study, just being able to really understand in one user everything that person was exposed.
The key word here is the single source. Yeah. That's the key source, yeah. So, I mean, and also, what she said is true. I mean, it's different to have a category like is travel that probably you to get the stimulus, and then you say, okay, yes, I want to travel, and then we'll go to the website, booking.com or whatever, and then I book this. But if you're talking about automotive, I want to buy a car, it does not depend that you're watching an advertising, yes or not.
For an SUV.
And also the timing is probably not in a month. I'm not going to buy a car in a month, but it's going to be like in 6 months or 1 year. Then That's the issue that we're facing right now. But the point is that we are demonstrating that there is a model, there is a single source model that we can get not just the attribution, also the reach, the conversion rate. We can get everything in order to demonstrate that thanks to this stimulus, you get this behavior.
And there's also that data that we have or that they have from the technology side on the artificial intelligence that is going to allow the more that we do this to actually learn from the outputs and then create planning accordingly. So now your planning is not going to be based on, you know, like a general understanding, but actually it's been proven by all of these, I don't know, campaigns that we're doing that had the same objective, that this is your best route. So that's what's nice about it, that we can incorporate even more technologies to feed into this and then create better results post, but also pre. So
very interesting. One of my first questions is, I think you tapped into this right now. It sounds like a massive amount of data that you collect. How do we process this all so that we can actually generate some interesting insights that she can use?
That's the big issue of this model, because we are getting a lot of data. When we're talking about clicking data, is that anytime you go to your browser, you go to Google, is one line. Then if you look for, I don't know, for a website X, it's another line. Then this generates a lot of data for a lot of panelists for a lot of time. Then it's a lot of data. Then what we're doing is like models in order to try to subtract everything and then create the important, let's say, insights. And that's something easy to say, of course, you're doing it, it's like really difficult. And then when we are going to customers and we're talking that we have this capability, you say, oh, yes, I want to do that. But when they realize the huge amount of data that you are able to deliver, they said, well, you have to use the data.
I really don't want all the data. Give me the insights.
Yeah. Because that's actually one of the things that I've been hearing a lot during these interviews is we have data. We have lots of data.
Yeah.
We just don't know what to do with this data or how to interpret this data or how to process it. But we have the data. So that's why I asked, how do we actually get all of this and put it together in a little box so that you can use later on?
Yeah, honestly, even in our case also, it was the working together, like really closely together, because I think that it just brings the best out of the project. You know, you can make it faster. You can actually achieve the results. Because in one side, you know, the business will always have more of the businesses. You know your needs more than anybody else serving you, right? So that also has to be there. But what's nice is when you have somebody like a partner, and like they've been with me, that are so committed that really want to understand the business. That's the, you know, that's where the, I guess, the magic. Now that we're hearing as it's
about your
exactly.
Of course. In a business perspective, since you start working together, how have you felt that things have accelerated or changed or improved for you?
Since we worked together?
Yes, on this project, yeah.
Well, I think that we continue to work in other projects. For this project in particular, I think that we're at a point that we know exactly, you know, okay, this were all the learnings. I'm glad that we didn't have so many. We have a few, but not so many, right? But what's nice is that it's a matter of now just being able to expand it. You know, I think that the industry is just going to benefit as more and more people jump into working and doing this, that it's not just a, let's say, A&E Networks or a NetQuest project, but it's actually an industry. I see a lot with our counterparts in domestic, and I was talking to Ben about it, that many times you see the companies, just each individual company trying to come up with their solution. And what you find is that, honestly, the advertiser is not gaining from that, because the advertiser doesn't want to sit down with your solution and then with the other vendor and the other vendor. They really want one. And that's where I think that we just need to, you know, come together and be able to do it. There is a roadmap, I think, that we have, which is great, because it's not something that we need to start thinking about it. It's just getting more people, you know.
Yeah, totally, yes. We're right now in a moment that we have to pause a little bit and think about the next steps. But we have clear idea. I think that mainly has more clear than the idea. But the idea is to go forward and keep this model improving. And why not push? Do it with another partner as well.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. And I have a feeling that you're going to have a lot of people after you to start using the model that you've created. But let's talk about trends, because I think that since we're looking at the future, looking at the roadmap, I also want to understand from your perspective, where do you see the industry going? What's coming? What's next?
I think that there is something there with the metaverse, the ChatGPT. That's going to hit for sure. It's hitting right now, but in the close future, it's going to be like this. And also, that's my point of view. Then when it hits, then we come back like 4 or 5 years when we were talking about privacy, when we were talking about all this compliance and everything. And then I think that we have a big hit move forward, and then we have to stop and then go back a little bit, talk about these kind of things.
Yeah. Where do you see it?
I think that this project is very in the forefront because the technology, just like data, it's there. The problem is that many times it's not being used, you know, or not combined to exploit it. I think that certainly all these technologies are, the new ones are good. I believe a lot on the artificial intelligence. I think that this is something that it's really going to, once we start applying it, the same way that it changed the models, let's say for the content providers as to what do we create or how do we serve the content to our users, the same way it's going to happen on the research side. Because then, you know, we're going to just throw away all the mathematical modeling that we used to, like all the regression analysis. We're going to say, what regression? What? With our side, you know? That would be something from the 70s or something like that. So I think that the more we can leverage it, because it's there, it's just putting the pieces together.
Nah, totally.
It's very interesting. I have heard a lot, ChatGPT, metaverse, it's these buzzwords that are really interesting for the moment. But I have also heard a lot of people talking to me and saying, yeah, but hold on, it's great now, but regulations are not in place.
Yeah. Right.
It's still free for all, but things still have to be put in place in order for it to.
We are moving the wheel so fast.
Exactly. But it's interesting to see what's next. So one perspective on the Latin American market, because you both live in the U.S., and I'm sure you also are quite interested in what's happening in Europe. Do you see a shift or change, or you find it to be similar, the different markets that you work with?
Huh. What do you think?
I think that if we're talking about the U.S. markets, are totally different compared to the Latin markets. And also, if you compare to the European one, very different. Here in Latin America, we have it depends of the country, of course, but we have a political issues that also change everything. Invest not just in the market research sector, but also in other sectors that we have to deal with that. And then probably in Europe, you have more stability. But then the technology is in the U.S., and I think that is totally different than when you're talking with from the U.S. to a customer from LATAM or from Europe. You have to a little bit to change your speech in order to adapt. But yeah, it's completely different to do business here, or to do business in the U.S., or to do business in Europe.
What about regulations? Where are the hardest?
Oh, no. I mean, I would say Europe.
Europe.
Hands down Europe.
I was anticipating for the answer, but I kept myself quiet.
Let's say something. I think that it's going to be like a world standard sometime. And I think it's going to be closer more to the European ones than not to the US one.
Yeah. And on the Latin America, I don't know. I think that there's something that Latin America has because of the same political and economic situations that we go through that, number one, we really look out to see what's happening. So many times it doesn't take us, let's say, the decades that happen in the U.S. to do something. It's faster just because it happened, they proved it. So by the time that it gets to us, we're already, we'll adapt it. So we didn't have to go to the trial and errors maybe that the domestic folks did. And then also the creativity. I think that in Latin America, we have a lot of creative talent. I see it because, you know, we talk about budgets with our counterparts in Europe and in Asia and U.S. And wow, it's different. You know, let's say that we run a tight shift, very efficient and effective. So I think that that's also, that is also good on the, and on the research side as well, you know, But the technology certainly, you know, when you see it happening in Europe or here or Asia, it's nice that now it's very global. They're not like the walls, you know, and you see it with ESMR, for example, you know, that there's that cross-contamination in a way, in a good way.
Interesting word.
Yes, I know.
No, I agree. I think working for ESMR and really being able to talk to different people, different companies, both from the agency side, but also from the client side, I think there's so many different things happening at the same time, but there's a community. It's everyone's working together, either different ways, and bringing together their knowledges, their experiences, their issues, sharing their issues. So it's good to see both sides and how everything comes together.
It's really interesting.
Good.
Ben, Daniela, it was amazing speaking to both of you. Honestly, I think that what you're working on is going to go far. Keep going. You're going to get a lot of requests.
That would be a positive thing.
But it was a pleasure talking to you.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Thank you.
Thank you.